Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, have Haiti's gangs launched a coup?
Heavy gunfire rang out in Port-au-Prince after a Haitian gang leader, Jimmy Cherizier, known as Barbecue, warned he would try to oust Prime Minister Ariel Henry.
I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take.
That day started pretty much like any quote-unquote normal day for folks here in Haiti, and more precisely in Port-au-Prince.
Harold Isaac is an independent journalist based in Haiti, and he's been covering the country since 2015.
I am in Pétionville right now, which is a city in the metropolitan area of Port-au-Prince.
So, Harold, walk me through what we know about what happened. It started with a gun battle on Thursday. Is that right?
Yes. The day starts, you hear that, oh, you know, there's some shooting downtown, but maybe some more than usual, because having shootings in the backdrop is sadly not that unusual, at least in the last 3-4 years. So much so that, you know, myself and my wife, like, we decided we're going to work because we go downtown, right, to go to work. We started seeing the massive wave of panic, people rushing on the streets, running, you know. In the midst of all of this, you try to give yourself a certain sense of normalcy. You may stop for a little coffee at a shop, you know, chit-chat with folks and whatnot. And I got to the office, and my office is at Radio Kiskeya, which is one of the prominent broadcasters here in Haiti. And it's downtown. It's really near the main square. And, I mean, hearing shooting from the station is, like, almost like, okay. But when I started seeing cars turning around, people running, I'm like, okay, the action is getting closer to us. And by then, we realized that something happened at the airport, that there are reports that shootings had happened and planes got struck. So I'm like, okay, whatever is going on, something is happening.
Something was happening. Over the course of the next few days, there were 2 prison breaks. And around 4,000 prisoners were freed.
An ambush by gang members on a prison in the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. Nearly 4,000 prisoners were freed, including high-profile gang members.
Dead bodies on the ground and another attack on the airport.
It was scenes of chaos at Haiti's main airport on Monday as gang violence continued to take hold of the country.
All after Prime Minister Ariel Henry left the country for talks in Kenya on how to rein in the violence by bringing in an international police force.
Haiti Prime Minister Ariel Henry has thanked President William Ruto for offering to lead the multinational security support mission, promising to accord the contingent all the necessary support to make the mission a success.
Kenya agreed to provide policing, but now there was a question about whether Henry would return to Haiti.
We knew that Ariel had arrived in Kenya and had inked the agreement with the Kenyan official. And by then, while everybody was kind of trying to sort out what was going on, we then heard Barbecue, you know, coming in claiming basically the actions of the day.
Okay, so Jimmy Cherizier, also known as Barbecue, what did you hear and what did he declare?
So we started seeing on social media, especially on WhatsApp, you know, videos coming in of him doing kind of a press conference. He's going to wage a revolution. The prime minister may as well stay at bay.
The poor take the streets and they trust us. These weapons are our symbol of freedom. With these weapons, we will liberate the country, and these weapons will change the country.
You know, pretty much conveying that it would not accept any Kenyan mission coming to Haiti.
Huh.
And then that's where it kind of started escalating, because he essentially claimed that then, you know, all the gangs, all the rival gangs were united.
So we touched on this earlier, There had been problems with policing in Haiti for years now, and the Haitian Prime Minister, Ariel Henry, was outside of the country to shore up international support for Haiti's national police when this attack happened. Do the people that you're talking to think that is why this happened now?
There certainly is an opportunity. People were like, yeah, they're going to make noise. They're probably going to try and prevent him from coming back. But then again, can he not come back?
Wait. So that's the thing that people were already saying that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. So we have done an episode on Charizé, a.k.a. Barbecue. Al Jazeera has spoken to him.
Everyone sees only people with guns doing violence, but they don't see the corruption in the country. If you steal state money, if you don't build hospitals and schools and don't care for those in need, all this will continue to spawn violence.
But remind our listeners what we should know about him, this prominent gang leader who used to be a police officer.
Yes, precisely, police officer turned notorious gang leader. And perhaps, sadly, one of his highlights was in 2022, when he essentially grinded to a halt because he cut access to the main oil terminal of the country for nearly 7 weeks.
Powerful gangs have blocked the main fuel terminal, hampering the operation of hospitals, schools, and the delivery of aid.
And that, as a result, led to a resurgence of cholera, hospitals being disrupted, food supplies being disrupted. It was a really, really rough time. And as a result of this blockade, which is the irony of all of this today, the Haitian government then, of the caretaking government of Ariel Henry, decided to ask the international community for support formally in October of 2022, formally requested support from the international community to have a force that would come and help deal with the gang problem. And ever since, Haiti has been kind of trying to gather support, funding, and the units committing to coming here in Haiti to help fight gangs.
So he gave this video message in which he is quoted as saying, "With our guns and with the Haitian people, we will free the country." This is on Thursday. What do you make of his message, and what do Haitians make of it?
In recent memory, because Barbecue has been around for a few years, he's been claiming to be a revolutionary. He's been claiming that he wants to change the system. However, this stands to be inconsistent with his actions. But when you look at it, kind of if you make an analysis, essentially he started burning down police stations that are essentially on his territory. To say that Kenyan police officers would not be able to be stationed at these police substations. So there's this ongoing silence, really, that's a very telling silence in Haiti right now, where, you know, a lot of folks that you would have heard talking about the situation are just mum.
So you're saying they're not speaking up right now, but that just could be because they're processing all that's happened. Or is it because of fear?
A mix of both. You know, for most folks are still here and resisting. We thought we had a system. We thought we had something figured out, right?
Wow.
And then boom, this happens. Because the line that was crossed for most people this week is the airport. Because the airport for however long was always considered off limits, you know, and why would that be? Because everybody goes through the airport, you know, like the good guys, the bad guys, everybody goes through that. So nobody would have interest into endangering the airport. I think the thing for many of my friends here, everybody's asking themselves a question. Is that theatrics, right? Or is it the real deal? You know, as my friends tend to say, it's not what people say and do, it's what they don't say and don't do, you know, and that speaks a lot of volume. And right now, it's a very loud silence. So it's a battle between what's legitimate versus what's not legitimate. This country has been in a very deep institutional and constitutional crisis for over the last 5 years. And it took perhaps the turn for the worse at the election of former President Jovenel Moïse, because the participation rate at that election was about 20%.
Haiti's businessman Jovenel Moïse has been elected as the next president of the country. The result followed a week of protests and unrest led by supporters of former President Juan Bertrand.
So nobody's forgetting that at interim Prime Minister Ariel Henry was tapped 2 days before the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse.
So who's running Haiti? That's after the break.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, Harold, is this a coup?
Well, it's a great question. If somebody else was to be installed, let's say, in the coming hours as, you know, a president, that would be a coup d'etat, right? So I think that, you know, everything has its definition, but I think the whole world is looking at Haiti through its constitution. And this constitution since 1987 was a progressive, if you want, of sorts, a constitution. And now people have lost faith in their institutions. And they don't believe that we are under any legal realm anymore. So it's either we are a legal state or a bandit state. So the fate of the country will have to be decided on these terms in the coming days and weeks.
So what remains of the state right now? With the prison break and the attack at the airport, are police out? Are soldiers out? What do you see?
The obvious is that the magnitude of this prison break is a massive blow to the morale of the legitimate forces. Okay, of course, like the folks that were in there, there were pretrial detentions, a huge amount of pretrial detention, but among those were also very hardcore criminals. But if I may add, we're not seeing our first jailbreak in Haiti. It happened in recent years, but of that magnitude, we haven't seen that since, let's say, the earthquake in 2010 in nearly over 15 years. Haitian state is a weird kind of phenomenon. Mm-hmm. You know, by times it's totally absent, and by time it's present. Mm-hmm. Some places it's completely absent, and some places it's really present. So you simply don't want to be in the crosshair of the Haitian state when it wakes up, right? So that's why some of the folks remain, especially some high-profile inmates.
I wanted to ask you about that because we know that some of the ones who stayed in prison are those who were accused of killing the country's president, Jovenel Moïse, in 2021.
15 men from Colombia and 2 Haitian Americans. Authorities say they're trained killers and part of the hit squad that killed Haiti's president, Jovenel Moïse.
Why would they choose to stay in prison?
Why risk it? You know, you risk stepping out, you put yourself in limbo legally, you might get killed, you become a fugitive, you don't have an interest. You know, and where would you go? You're going to go home, like you're going to get denounced. Eh?
Yeah.
And you risk a new phenomenon in Haiti, which is called Bwakale, where the population may take you out. And in the most gruesome ways.
Basically, you're talking about mob justice?
Yeah. So since April of last year, the country has entered the Bwakale era, what they call the Bwakale. It's peel wood. When a group of allegedly, you know, runaway gangsters were caught by the population at the police stops and they were torched down in gruesome ways. And that triggered a nationwide movement because at that time, the bandits, it feels like they had nothing to stop them. And the Bwakale started. And on the day-to-day lives of Haitian, how it translated is that public neighborhoods have turned into gated communities. There are brigades or committees or watching out, you know, who's coming. Nobody said it's a good thing, but it's the response.
Yeah. With gangs controlling 80% of the capital, we often hear words like failed state when it comes to Haiti, gang territory. You don't as often hear about the history of imperialism and Western occupation and foreign intervention, which for some people right now, the deal with Kenya to provide a militarized approach is just another one of those interventions. Can you very briefly talk to me about what you're hearing from people when it comes to that history and where it leaves Haiti today?
Well, I'll tell you my perspective, honestly, about that. First off, I think for anybody in Haiti, living in Haiti and struggling and fighting every day, being in Haiti is an act of resistance. Mm-hmm. But it's not solely being an act of resistance towards the immediate dangers that are, you know, anybody's facing here. It's also understanding the weight of history and understanding the place and the significance of Haiti in the world stage. Over the last few months, people that are like migrating in any way they can out of the country, mm-hmm. it kind of created a décantation. That's a word in French. Décantation, it's like a divide where you have those who stay and those who leave. But those who stay, they stay because they understand that this country's significance goes beyond the immediate challenges that we have. And that's where you say failed state. I say complicated state. Hmm. Because I don't believe personally that there's such a thing as a failed state. As long as you have people living somewhere, you know, they have to find a way. And a state disappears when there's no more people. Perhaps this has been the objective to empty this place, you know, from everybody that's in it. But a lot of folks have decided that they're staying.
Well, then, Harold, that leaves me to my last question, because you are Haitian Canadian and you have been very busy over these last few days reporting on this outbreak and the attack at the airport and all that's happened. So I have to wonder, how do you stay safe? And what is it that keeps you there?
Well, it comes down to a more kind of personal story. You know, I never put this forward too much, but I think in the midst of this question, I need to kind of say it. I mean, my mom was a very prominent journalist and broadcaster here in Haiti. She passed last year, July 31st.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
And it's not that I've been trying to walk in her steps, but I knew she was very proud of my work reporting on Haiti, because there's not that many voices available, mm-hmm. you know, or willing, you know, to talk from Haiti. But there are voices. They're here. For me, it's to pay homage to her, you know, that I do that. And also because I know my country. I mean, Haiti is my country. And I've lived in Canada. You know, I've lived in Canada for 15 years as an adult. I was born in Canada. But to me, I don't believe there's that much waiting for me in Canada versus Haiti, where I feel that I'm more useful. And it's not only me. And that's perhaps a reassuring thing. I have many other friends who have decided to be contributing members of this society, despite all the odds, you know, despite all, you know, the challenges, we decide to stay. In Haiti, what it comes down to is, and I understand everybody's individual circumstances, but I think at this stage today in 2024, it's about those who leave and those who stay.
Yeah. Well, Harold, on behalf of the world getting a glimpse into what it is like in Haiti right now, thank you for staying.
Well, thank you for listening.
And that's The Take. To listen to our previous program on Jimmy Charizet, the gang leader known as Barbecue, you can find the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by David Enders and Khalid Sultan, with Chloe Kaylee, Sariel Khalili, Zainab Azar, Sonia Bagat, Farinisa Kampana, Miranda Lin, Ashish Malhotra, Nagin Oliayi, Amy Walters, and me, Malika Bilal. Alex Roldan is our sound designer. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nate Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.